The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now we're delighted to be joined by Bob Geldof. Bob, you're 51 years on from the foundation of the Boomtown Rats. You're going to be rocking again at the Night and Day Festival at Lochee Forest Park. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. Not 51, thank you. 50th year. I mean, don't age us anymore.
Oh, sorry. I thought I spoke to you on the 50th anniversary of your first gig.
But we're in our fifth. Gets very delicate post 50.
Yeah, okay. I can relate to that. In my 50s, I can totally relate to that.
Okay, so talking of Lochee, the last time I was there, I was 11 years old. And I was with the 77 CBSI Boy Scout Troop, I think it was called. You know? And so, yes, I'm looking forward to going back from what I remember.
Yeah, it probably has changed a little bit since then. I saw you, speaking of 50th anniversaries, I saw you on the stage at the Hot Press 50th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, you still have the moves and you look like you still love being on the stage.
I don't think you can do 50 years in anything if it's not what you want to do, you know, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a job or anything, you know, you have to just love it. And it's not that it's the thing that gives me meaning to my life or it's nothing to do with that. It's this compulsion that's what I feel, not even what I was meant to do, it's just that I feel so naturally at home doing that. That's where I feel most like Bob, are those 2 hours. Not because you're extroverted and you're showing off, it's just deeply comfortable. That's what I want to be doing more than anything else. The 50th Hot Press, I mean, Niall Stokes, who is Hot Press, I mean, you know, we started at exactly the same time. I was present when he was talking about it. So celebrating something that was, you know, crucial to Irish rock and roll, critical, you know, I mean, so many bands would not have broken through had they not had the encouragement of Hot Press. So being there for that and celebrating that with Niall and the other bands that had broken through custom, that was a big one. That was special. Doing the sort of 50th anniversary at the All Together Now Festival with like Fontaines and Primal Scream, all bands that came after us, that was special.
If it's not impolite to say it, you looked in pretty good nick as well. How do you manage that?
Well, obviously, I go through, you know, this huge routine of calisthenics with private coaches.
I'm guessing you don't.
I do absolutely nothing. I mean, seriously, I hate physical exercise. I hate it. I hate the feeling. I hate the boredom of it. I can't, you know, you start, somebody says, listen, you're getting on. You need to have upper body strength. You go off, you know, and you just couldn't be yours.
You've obviously got good genes. Can I ask you about another anniversary? 40 years ago this month, I was studying for my leaving cert, so I didn't make it. My now wife was there. Self-Aid, a year after, yeah. Live Aid. Your reflections on it in hindsight, it got a bit of stick at the time from people, particularly on the left, saying, you know, it's taken the spotlight away from the government for failings in to provide jobs and so on. But what's your recollections of Self-Aid?
You know, that's always an excuse by people who've got nothing to offer except an argument, you know. Self-Aid, we immediately agreed to do because I think Tony Boland and other people in RTE, you know, when you consider it was a national broadcaster, were the people essentially behind this, that's very telling, very political. I mean, clearly the government doesn't want to see massive peoples unemployed, so they're, you know, their feet were to their fire anyway. But it was to show that it was this went beyond government, that this was a national crisis. No musician has to have any responsibility other than making good music. That's the job. That's the sole job. But then if you do think about other things outside of that and you involve that in your music, then, you know, the rats, as I said on the day, actually, at Self Aid, our name comes from Woody Guthrie. You know, Bob Dylan's North Star and the great social commentator and that. And he had a song which I suddenly sang in the middle of one of our tunes. It popped into my head. I don't want your Rolls Royce, mister. I don't want your pleasure yacht. All I want is the right to live, mister. Give me back the job I lost. And I just repeated that over and over. And you know, this huge crowd were just going crazy. So there was a national willingness to beat this devil. But it raised a lot of money, which went towards helping some of the families who were really strung out. Good. Did it put added pressure? Yes, in as much as that it was nationally broadcast and the best Irish bands ever were all lined up there. Mm-hmm. All of those things. Would you do it again? Yeah, if there's a policy point, if there's a pointed end to these things where you could say, if we do this, this will be achieved. Did we think a million people in Ireland unemployed, did we think that they would suddenly get jobs? No. But could we do something towards it? Yes.
Okay. You're in your, I think I'm right in saying, and I hope I'm right in saying, given your earlier clarification, you're in your you'll turn 75 later this year. Do you still have that burning desire to change the world for the better?
Well, the world is not immutable. I mean, you know, it's there to be changed. And each generation needs to change it to their own ends. They're the ones who have to live through the coming years. So yes, that is my point of view. And, you know, I learned very young when I was 13 that the world can change. I mean, it can tilt slightly on its axis, and you can be kind of a part of that if you're willing to go that route. And it will change anyway. And it may change without your involvement. So it's better to help steer it in the direction you want it to go. And that is still what I think. And it annoys people and it bores people. but just too bad. You know?
Yeah, Hellraiser is the term that comes to mind. Is that, do you adopt that as a badge of honour?
I don't know that that's, if that's what it is, then fine. But I mean, it's with the purpose. As I said to you, there has to be a logic behind it. You know, honestly, every week I will get maybe at least 15 letters saying, why don't you do this for this?
Yeah.
Because of Live Aid. So I'll give you an example. 3 weeks ago, I got someone, a very well-constructed letter arguing that the teeth of people in Britain were horrendous, so why would I ever consider doing dental aid? No. that's the sort of level it gets down to. Why come to me? Go to all the dentists if you want to do something about that.
I think there might be something in a pop. Dental aid, I really
it
do.
It could be the next thing. It could be, yeah.
Good.
The point is that you get asked to, like, for example, the usual one is, please, Bob, do something to stop the war. Please, Bob, do something to stop climate change. The thing is, you won't. Unless you can do it, don't do it. There are 100 great gigs with amazing bands, say the Nelson Mandela gigs, fantastic gigs. Really, Jerry Dammers did an amazing job. Everyone wanted Mandela out of jail, but will rock and roll far away in a different country do that? No. No, it won't. So unless, for example, if there are people starving and you say, if we get this amount of money, I swear to you, we will stop as many of those people dying of starvation as we humanly can. And I will do that until we've achieved what I've said. If that's it and people believe you, and then you can show them that that's achievable, then that's the only way it works. Yeah. So you could walk around, you know, Grafton Street or O'Connell Street or wherever, singing, we shall overcome till you're blue in the face. You won't. Unless you've got a plan and a policy and a way to forward that action.
That makes perfect sense to me, I have to say. Final question before I let you go. When we spoke to you last year at the time of the 50th anniversary of your first gig. I think, was it Kevin Street or Bolton Street? I can't remember which. But yeah. I asked you about the presidency at that stage. And I think it's fair to say you had a few regrets that maybe it didn't work out. What are your thoughts seven, eight months on from it?
It's bittersweet because I think I could have done the job. I think I would have liked doing it. I just couldn't. It was just, I couldn't, because the Rats had a tour lined up, sold out. In all honesty, it would have been deeply insulting, even if it was possible, to hop back, do gigs, hop back and do a bit of campaigning and to argue with the other candidates and debate serious. It's a serious job. It's a proper job. It must be treated with respect. I just couldn't do it. Had it, and also had a party nominated me, then that would have been more viable. But that wasn't going to happen. I did call the Taoiseach and say, you know, because the others had already come to the party and nominated their candidates. The Taoiseach had already decided on, was it Jim Galvin? Was that his name?
It was.
And you know, he very bluntly said, look, Bob, honestly, I'd have no problem with it. You know, he said, like, you know, and I was very blunt. I said, Taoiseach, how do you feel about Bob Geldof represent? And he said, I would have no problem with it at all, Bob, but I think we've got our man. It was as quick and as direct, which I love, as that.
Yeah.
Was I going to go around the county councils,
no.
You know, doing the dog and pony, my 15 minutes, trying to explain who I am? And there's a bunch of guys who are 28, 30, and they've got something, you know. As I said at the time, people in Ireland are very ambivalent about Bob Geldof, which I completely understand because I'm very ambivalent about myself. You know?
I tell you what, though, the campaign would have been a lot livelier if you'd been in it.
I would have. I think I'd have done it. Look, the current president is doing great, fine. Would I have been truly honoured? Yes, without any question. But okay. Am I having a good time now? Yes. Am I really looking forward to playing in Roscommon, especially with the bands they've got? It's a fantastic lineup.
Brilliant.
I mean,
lineup.
I only heard about the lineup last week. I mean, Richard Thompson, superb. I mean, really superb. Emel de May, come on. The Flowers,
big,
you know.
Big Country, Paddy Casey, Soda Blonde, Jenny Green,
yeah, I mean,
the Saw Doctors.
I'm going to be there early on to watch everyone. Really.
Brilliant.
I mean, I rarely do that, but every one of those is in my, you know, top list. So
okay.
I can't wait.
Some tickets available, nightandday.ie/tickets if you want to go. It does sound like it's going to be a brilliant weekend. Bob Geldof, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
Cheers, man. Good to speak to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.